Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode 102. I'm your host, Dr. Vankman, and joining us on our panel today are Mazer.
Yes.
Mazer!
I just saw this trailer for this video game called Shift. Have you seen it? It's Shift 2.
It's a car game, right?
It's a car game, and it's from like EA and like the guys who did Need for Speed, and it looks kind of insane. So usually you have like your car view, and then you have your cockpit view, where like you can see your racing wheel and stuff like that. Then they have what they call helmet cam, so you can see like the borders of your helmet. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's pretty cool because like it looks like the most insane like crash physics and stuff like that.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it looks somewhere between like Burnout. Was it Burnout? The one where like the game you just like crashed. It was like, how awesome can I crash this car?
Yeah.
It looks like that meets Gran Turismo. It looks insane. So.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah,
sweet.
I've
been
looking for a good racing game, so I've thought about getting the new Need for Speed.
This game is coming out spring of 2011, so
I can wait if I needed to. Yeah. If it's that good. Ben P is also joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to encourage people to check out the Q&A with Bill Pullman that we just put up on the site because it was awesome. And, like, I got to see Spaceballs on the big screen on Monday night at the Arclight in Hollywood, and he was there for a Q&A. It was really cool. So the Arclight actually put up a YouTube video of the entire thing, so you could basically watch it as if you were there.
So
and then I typed it all out.
You didn't have to transcribe the whole thing.
Right, yeah. And, of course, I only realized that after I had spent 2 hours typing the whole thing out.
I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. It's worth it because Bill Pullman's a badass, so.
He is. Tiberius is also joining us.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing great, man.
Awesome.
I also, hey, if Ben's going to do it, I'm going to do it as well. It's been further back now, but for those of you that have seen the King's Speech or haven't seen the King's Speech, I have an interview with one of the producers of the King's Speech, Gareth Unwin. And if you can, take a look at it on Geek Tyrant.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing a lot of video games lately, more than usual these days. And I'm switching between like 4 different games throughout the day. Like, I'll like play it. And I don't know.
Okay, what games are you playing?
Okay, I'm playing Gran Turismo 5. I'm working my way through that.
Nice.
Okay. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare.
Ooh.
I'm working my way through that. I'm playing Call of Duty Black Ops. And I'm working my way through that. And I'm still playing Halo Reach. Mostly for the online stuff on that one, though, just to, like, get my aggression out on people before I go to bed at night. But
so Black Ops doesn't do it. You've got to do it in Halo.
Well.
Or are you still playing the story mode in Black Ops?
I'm still playing the story mode in Black Ops, but if there's like friends online, then I'll like play, you know, matchmaking stuff, whatever.
Have you played? Are you on the story, the lowest level? You know, the recruit or whatever it is.
I am on lowest level. Yes.
Oh,
I just
did that in 2 days. Get
well,
the program. Come on.
You know, I'm juggling
Bankman,
games.
One thing I should tell you is, my sister just had a newborn infant, and the infant also beat the game in 2 days.
Dang it.
Actually, all joking aside, I actually love that. That's one of the better single player, you know, games out there, in my opinion, in terms of the Call of Duty, you know, franchise. I think so.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun. So
just to be clear, my sister did not have a child.
Oh, man!
Thank you for clearing that up, Anna.
I thought you were serious.
I felt like I maybe should have sent a card or something. Like,
I know. I was like, wait a second.
But then I don't, well, I don't know your sister at all either, so that doesn't make sense.
you send the card to Ben and on behalf of.
Congrats on the nephew.
There you go. So, anyway, Ben has got Connect 3 this week.
Yes.
This is our game. If you want to do a quick little rundown, because we forgot to do it last week, so who knows if people even know what's going on with this. But
yeah, basically, we just, you know, we kind of take turns rotating with each particular episode, but we each pick three movie-related things, whether they be films or actors or whatever, and then you have to guess, like, what the connection is. So this one I'm doing kind of a, well, you'll see. So, all right, so here we go. The first of four in this series. Trans-Siberian, 127 hours, Iron Man.
Kate Mara.
Yes, nice. Starting it off right. Kate Mara. I like her a lot, and I think we'll probably end up talking about this, by the way, but she was one of the people rumored to be testing for The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yep.
Okay, next one. Here we go. The Pursuit of Happiness, Norbit, Rock and Rolla.
Ooh. Dang. Okay. Pursuit of Happiness, Norbit, Rock and Rolla.
Idris Elba?
No. I like where your head's at, though.
I don't even think I haven't even seen Norbit.
Yeah, no, I haven't either.
I haven't either. No.
I've only seen one of those films, so I'm like a real disadvantage.
Yeah. Let's see. It's a person.
Well, okay.
It's an actress.
Oh, Zoe Saldana?
No. She kind of looks like Zoe Saldana.
What?
This person was also in a movie directed by John Woo in the 90s. Or no, excuse me, in the year 2000, I think.
Oh, crap. I know who you're talking about now. I can't remember her name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 2 was what I was referring to there. Okay, cool. So what do we have? Mazer and Tiberius with one each, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so the third one. The Killer Inside Me, Awake, Meet Bill.
Jessica Alba?
All right, there we go. Vancouver, yes! Knocking down.
I don't think I've seen
none of
those
films.
We're in the same boat, Mason. Mm.
All right, so the fourth and final of our Connect 3. This is a good one, I think. Starship Troopers, Terminator Salvation, Top Gun.
Michael Ironside.
Nice, wow. Tiberius. Nicely done. I decided to go all actors this time, and the first three obviously were actresses, and I was trying to just decide whether or not I should stick with like the hot actress. Then I decided to throw Michael Ironside into the mix, so naturally.
Who is the farthest from hot or actress as there can be.
Right. All right. Pulling it out. Good job, guys.
Nice.
All right. That's a game you can play at home during family time.
All it involves is IMDb, some paper.
Dude, we should just make a game and sell it. At Toys R Us or Amazon.
I think actually it. Now that I think about it,
no.
It's a. It's one of the cards in Seen It, the game. And I was wondering why the game felt a little familiar, and that's why. But
all right.
It's a good game.
I haven't played Seen It, so I'm good.
All right.
All right, so why don't we talk about some movies we've seen this week? I haven't really seen anything. Season of the Witch came out. I heard from people, including Tiberius, not to waste my money on it, so I didn't.
Deliver us from evil. She sees the weakness that lies in our hearts. And what she sees there, she will use against us.
This is a grave.
Mother of God.
This is a curse from hell, brought upon us by the Black Witch.
You're not afraid of me. Are you?
What is your name?
Damon.
You are the same knight who
stood against the Turks of Imbros.
The same?
Good. I know Tiberius saw it. Has anybody else seen it?
I have not.
All right. Do you want to tell us about it, Tiberius?
Well, I would be happy to. Again, I cannot stress this enough. Even Ron Perlman cannot save this craptastic film. I was expecting at least a little bit more action, but guess what? They showed it all in the trailers or in the behind-the-scenes clips. They showed everything that you could ever imagine that was relatively interesting about the movie in those parts. So, guess what? You've already seen the film. Save your money. Rent it on Redbox or wait till it comes on Netflix, whatever. But do not go see that movie. I mean, the lines were ridiculous. Even the action sequences at the beginning sucked in terms of, you know, I can think of 10,000 times better, you know, mass action fighting sequences, you know, having to do with the Crusades. But I can't think of the names off the top of my head, but I'll tell you, anything's better than this. You know, I'm trying to think of...
I'm sure, like, Kingdom of Heaven and stuff, you know.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what... Kingdom of Heaven. Go see that. Rent that. Don't waste your time with anything having to do with the Season of the Witch. The movie is utter crap. I hate to say that. I heard Nicolas Cage, but, you know...
I heard there was a scene in there where you have this army running down this hill, and it was like right out of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, when the guy's running down the hill, but no one's going. Like I think it was Lancelot is running, but he's not moving, forward.
And it's actually funny. That's a very good comparison there, because I can agree with you on that. The special effects sucked. I can't really think of anything that didn't suck. I mean, come on. I would have been happy if it, you know, not to be perverted, but maybe throw in some nudity or something, but none. Nothing. Nothing. It was horrible.
All right.
Even the storyline, like the basic premise, not interesting in any way?
It's always been done. It's been done all before. I mean, in a way, I mean, I would have loved to have seen more with that. I mean, you know, yeah, it was kind of interesting. These group of ragtag individuals are on a mission to, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, that's all been done before. I can't, let's not even waste our time talking about it anymore. The only reason I went is because I didn't have to pay for it, one. I don't care. Don't waste your time on it. Sorry, it's bad.
Okay, so the one possible redeeming factor would be if Nick Cage is so terrible that it's like laughably bad. Is that not
You go. No, that might be a factor right there. I mean, just the fact. I mean, he has no facial expressions in the movie. Mm. See, the good thing about some movies from Nicolas Cage is that he at least, you know, all of a sudden is talking really calmly, and then all of a sudden blows up like this. Kind of like he does that. He's almost doing the Jack Nicholson or not Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino type acting.
Yeah. Scene.
I swear to God, but in this movie, he has no his lines just don't call for that. So therefore, a lot of his facial expressions do not change. It's kind of like it's just very disconcerting. I don't know. It's really weird.
That's a shame.
It is.
All right. The Green Hornet came out this weekend.
Coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
For today's top story, newspaper mogul James Reed was found dead, leaving his son in charge of his media empire.
Sorry to hear about your father.
Hey, Kato, you knew my dad pretty well, right?
Now that he's gone, I'm thinking I haven't done anything good my whole life. I'm not sure what I should do.
Wanna see something cool?
Whoa! You did that? What did you think of my father?
He was a complex man.
Think about this, Kato. We've been completely wasting our potential. The city needs our help. We could be heroes. Here's what will make us different. We will pose as villains to get close to the bad guys. That way, no one will suspect we're really the good guys. I want you to take my hand, and I want you to come with me on this adventure.
I'll go with you, but I don't want to touch you.
Okay, you don't have to take my hand, but will you come with me on this adventure?
Okay.
Yes.
What do we call it?
The Green Hornets.
Yeah.
And Ben has seen it, right?
Yeah, I got a chance to see like a press screen. Did anybody else get a chance to see it? No. Anyone?
No. No.
I got invited to one in New York. I just couldn't make it. It was because it was in the city.
But. Okay. I liked this movie, I think. I'm still kind of sorting through my thoughts on it. But first impressions, I thought it was this year's The A-Team in that it logically makes almost no sense, the things that happen in it and like kind of physically and things like that. But to me, it didn't really matter that much. I actually had a good time watching it. This movie, you know, we've probably been documenting it as it's been going along on this podcast, actually, has gone through quite a troubled production history. You know, with Kevin Smith being involved at one point and then kind of dropping out, and then Stephen Chow, the director of, you know, Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer and all that, being involved, you know, as the director and then potentially starring as Kato, and then creative differences having him leave the project and all of these kinds of different variations that's gone through over the years. But eventually it ended up in the version that we have now, which is co-written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who did Superbad, and directed by Michel Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is an awesome movie. Yeah. So I think all of us were kind of tentatively anticipating The Green Hornet, if for no other reason than just to see what a buddy cop action superhero movie directed by Michel Gondry and starring Seth Rogen looks like. And to me, it turned into something kind of interesting. It's fairly formulaic, and Cameron Diaz is in it, but you wouldn't know that after leaving the movie because she's kind of barely in it and plays like a throwaway character. I'm personally not that big of a Cameron Diaz fan. I didn't find her like intolerable in this because she didn't have as big of a role as, say, something like Night and Day. So, you know, she was, I could deal with Cameron Diaz basically in this movie. I could tolerate her. So whatever that says about me as a person, whatever. So anyway, the kind of rapport between Seth Rogen and Jay Chow, who's the, I believe he's Korean, who's playing Kato in this movie.
Yeah.
He's like a Korean superstar, like pop star or something. Is that right?
He's like the Justin Timberlake of Korea.
Okay. I
mean, although he describes himself as the Usher.
Excuse me. Okay.
Let's get it right, okay, guys?
Yeah.
Trashing Kato's.
I would say their banter leaves a little to be desired because of the language barrier, but it's still kind of fun to watch. And also, the reason that they become like friends is kind of glossed over in 30 seconds, and then all of a sudden they're like BFFs, which is kind of strange. But if you can get past that, I would say the movie's a lot of fun. It you know, Mazur, I remember you talking about, like, how much Gondry are we really going to see in this movie? And I will say there's not much, but the points when those little touches of his do shine through are very cool. There are a couple fight scenes with Kato especially where he has almost like a superpower where he's able to kind of anticipate what people are going to do and kind of zero in almost like the Terminator or something on weapons that people are holding. So it goes into like Kato vision, and the camera will like these kind of red CG effects will highlight different weapons that thugs are holding and stuff. And then it'll, you know, kind of go back out and Kato will just freaking disarm these people and go off and basically just kick ass. So that stuff is really cool. He does a little bit of the kind of time ramping Zack Snyder-esque stuff, but it doesn't come off as copying that really. It just comes off as like a stylistic choice, which is good. And that one scene that they show in the trailer with the cars, you guys remember that, where it kind of stretches out a little bit? You know what I'm talking about?
And it goes...
Yeah, that was really cool. That actually happened in the movie, which I was glad to see. You know,
Did you see it in regular or in 3D?
I did see it in 3D, and the 3D was really good, I thought, especially for something that is post-converted like this was.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, I think that was part of the reason of the delay, because the movie was supposed to come out in the summer of 2010, and obviously they bumped it until the middle of January of 2011, and I think the post-conversion had a lot to do with that, if I'm not mistaken. But, so, you know, obviously we've seen in the marketplace that post-conversion 3D is not really the ideal method. But with that being said, I thought the 3D was pretty good in The Green Hornet, and there's a couple things about this movie that make it worth seeing, even if you hate the rest of it. One is Christoph Waltz, who is kind of awesome in this very, like, I'm not going to say subtle, because there's not really much subtle about it, but kind of an understated performance. And his villain character is very ridiculous.
It looks like an overdramatic type character.
A little bit. Like, he takes himself very seriously about things that he shouldn't take himself seriously about, which is not the proper sentence, I think, but it's fun. Like, he's a great part of the movie. There's also a really awesome cameo in the very beginning of the movie that I wouldn't dare give away on this podcast or in a review or anything, and I've seen other people give it away. So if you guys are definitely going to see Green Hornet, I would recommend not reading anything about it, just because you never know who's going to give that stuff away. And that is, like, one of the most enjoyable scenes in the film, is this cameo that happens early on. And it involves Christoph Waltz's character, so that was really great. And then,
do you think this would make a fun midnight screening?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, because I'm thinking of going to a midnight screening tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think you guys will probably like it. It's not great, you know what I mean? Like, in the same way that the A-Team is not a great film. It's not even maybe a good film, like a good movie, you know, if you look at it from those terms, but you will have fun in it, I think, and as long as, like, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff that happens in it, and the entire final fight sequence and climactic action sequence of the movie was almost ludicrous enough for me to switch my opinion on the film entirely. It almost angered me how ridiculous it got, but the credit sequence actually was what kind of made me smile again and pulled me back into it. The credit sequence, if you see it in 3D and you hate the film, let's say, and you're 20 minutes in and you're considering walking out, just go to sleep until the credit sequence comes up, because it's amazing. It's really, really,
really
cool.
So stay throughout the entirety of the credits, is what you're saying.
No, I mean, I don't know if there's any sort of secret thing at the end. I just right when the movie ends, like, the physical credits that pop up, like, directed by, all that kind of stuff, is just done really well, especially in 3D.
Okay, cool.
So, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that I'm sitting here talking about the credits in a 3D credit sequence or something, but it's really cool. So,
awesome.
You'll just have to trust me on that. But anyway, I would recommend The Green Hornet if you don't have any real expectations for it, because you know, hearing about how troubled this production was, I was like, oh, okay, this could be just an epic disaster, and it's not at all. It's definitely a passable movie, and I would say a fun movie.
Cool.
I'm going to see that tomorrow, or you know, I'm either seeing that tomorrow or later this weekend. I can't decide.
Cool.
But it's one of the movies that are on my list. I'm definitely seeing The King's Speech this weekend. And that. I don't know.
Awesome.
You bring up a good point, though. You know what's funny, real quick,
mm-hmm.
is you talk about how it's a bad thing to think about mentioning how great the title sequences are, or at the end of, you know, the credits mm-hmm. are. But I'll tell you what, a great movie can be totally blown to bits, and not blown to bits, but taken down a peg or two with shitty titles. And it amazed me how many times shitty titles or closing credits are used. That's all I got to say. Nothing else. We don't have to talk on about it more, but I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. And you also saw a film called Burning Palms.
You know, I think that most people would find the situation a little weird.
Weird?
The touching each other constantly and the sex talk.
We're their parents. They're out of town.
Again?
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's not nice to laugh at another person's misfortune.
Do you realize that people think the two of you are together?
I found it this morning on the sidewalk.
Why are you doing this?
I just wanted to spend some time with you, that's all.
Is it a feminine need?
The devil.
Are you crazy?
I didn't give it to a 7-year-old child.
Order!
Give it to me!
There will be no outburst of emotion in this courtroom.
Correct?
Yes.
And you love this movie. Didn't you?
This I did not love. Going from something that I kind of thought was okay. Burning Palms is, I hesitate to say literally one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, because I don't know if it's literal. Like, that's probably not the correct word, and that's one of my big things is trying to properly use the word literally. It's one of the worst and most offensive movies I've seen in the past 10 years. It is... politically incorrect for the sake of being politically incorrect and doesn't really offer any redeeming quality at all in the entire thing. From the performances are all kind of flat. The entire movie, the look of it is all drenched, like bleached out, and it just doesn't look good as a film. This is the directorial debut of a guy named Christopher Landon, who helped write Disturbia, and I kind of like Disturbia personally.
Yeah,
and he also wrote this movie, so he wrote and directed Burning Palms. I'd never heard of Burning Palms before I got like an invite to go see it or whatever, so I was like, okay, it's, you know, I'm just coming off the winter break or whatever, and I haven't really been to a theater in a while, I'll go check this out. And boy, am I regretting that decision. It was just not good. Like, okay, so I see the poster and I'm like, okay, it's got Shannon Doherty, Zoe Saldana, Paz Vega, Rosamund Pike, Nick Stahl, and Dylan McDermott in it. Okay, like, I've heard of the guy who wrote or who directed it. You know, he wrote Disturbia. I like this. Maybe I'll see it. It's set in Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles. Hey, okay, that's got that going for it. And this is just, it's really horrifying as far as the content. Okay, so the movie itself is set... is framed in a comic book, kind of in the way that Trick or Treat is, if you guys know what I'm talking about, in that, like, in between, it's an anthology film, so there are 5 different storylines going on, and in between each storyline, they do these kind of comic transitions and stuff, and it'll say, like, somewhere in West Hollywood, somewhere in Santa Monica, or whatever, you know, like, that goes on in between each of the things, which I think works for Trick or Treat. For one reason alone, because the storylines actually intersect and cross, and that makes it okay for it to have this stylistic use of being framed in the comic book. Like, just that concept alone works because all these stories are intertwined. In Burning Palms, nothing happens. No, the storylines don't cross at all, so there's no reason for it to be set in a comic book, you know what I mean? Like, there's no consistency there. I have no idea why they chose to do that, other than the fact that maybe they couldn't come up with a good transition in between stories or something. I'm still baffled at that decision. There are just wildly inappropriate things going on in this movie. I don't want to give a lot of it away, because on the off chance that people will see it, the part of what this movie, I'm sure, is trying to do is to kind of shock you into a state of whatever, a coma, like being in a coma or something, with how ridiculous the storylines get. But I will say, it's supposed to be very subversive and taboo and stuff, and they definitely meet that goal. There's some freaking weird stuff that goes on in this movie and stuff that's pretty disturbing. So if that sounds like it's your idea of a good time at the theater, then I would highly recommend this movie. Otherwise, if you're... I was going to say if you're a normal person, but that's probably a little strong. If you like normal movies, I would say don't see this. Even the performances, like Zoe Saldana and Nick Stahl were the only parts of it that I thought were okay. And then everybody else was just kind of like, meh. They weren't terrible. The performances weren't bad. But just the story and the script that they had to work with was just so
good,
bad.
Huh?
Yeah. So right. There's my little rant on Burning Palms. I would never recommend this to anyone who considers themselves a normal movie watcher.
All right, then. Yeah. Did anybody see any other movies this week? Or is that...
Aside from Spaceballs, that's all I've got.
I finally saw How to Train Your Dragon on Blu-ray.
What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was blown away. I mean, I'm glad I watched it on Blu-ray. It's really amazing in terms of a Blu-ray goes. So yeah. If you're looking for anyone's looking for a Blu-ray to go pick up and buy, that's definitely one to get if you don't already have it. So
weren't the flight sequences awesome?
Yes, they were. I think you're right. When you guys, I've heard you guys say that it did a much better job in terms of flight sequences over Avatar even. So, I mean, I agree with that. I really do. I would have loved to have seen it in 3D. But, you know, hey, it's beautiful even in regular 2D. I loved it.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, why don't we move on to some geek news then?
Yes.
You know, we had a couple of costumes pop up online today that I thought we should probably talk about. We've had a grainy scan image of Chris Evans in his Captain America outfit. And we also got a nice clear high-res image of Andrew Garfield sporting his Spider-Man costume, which I thought looked great. I wasn't expecting
I thought that. It looked amazing. It looked amazing.
I wasn't sure where they were going to go with it, and once I saw that image, I was just, all right, I'm sold. I like it.
Nice. What'd you guys think? I liked it a lot, too, and I'll let Mazur go, and then let's talk about the web shooter thing.
It's interesting. It has kind of like this wet look that's completely different than the other one. The other one looked like this, you know, weird, like, metal cage type thing. I mean, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it was spandex with like,
Interesting look. But this one, it just has a completely different tone. Just the Spidey symbol is like kind of smeared, and it looks I don't even know what material it's made out of because it's shiny and dark at the same time, and it looks like it's a wet basketball in some places. And then, like, other places, it looks like it's painted on. And then other parts look like it's just, like, a regular suit. So it's like, I don't even know what it's made out of. I tweeted, like, spider silk. But I don't know.
Yeah, and I was surprised by, like, how good Andrew Garfield looks as the character of Peter Parker. You know, I was kind of... I don't think I've ever really doubted Andrew Garfield as an actor because I've only seen him in, you know, give solid performances from what little I've seen of his work. I was just kind of questioning the age factor, you know, when this whole casting thing was coming up.
Because
there were a lot of people that were way younger that they were talking about casting in this role. And Andrew Garfield is, what, 27, 28 or something? He's supposed to be playing a high school kid. And I was like, I don't know if I believe that, you know, especially after seeing The Social Network and how, like, kind of well he carried himself and made himself feel like, you know, somebody who's in like easily in college, maybe even out of college. I was like, I don't know if I would believe him as this kind of young, scrawny, like fresh-faced high school kid. But even in this picture, you know, he's kind of serious and stuff too. But I can very easily see because of how skinny he is, how easy it's going to be for him to just as far as costuming goes, get into that look and not have a problem looking too old for the role, which is my biggest concern with the movie.
See, I still, even looking at the picture, as much as I like it, as much as I think, you know, I like how Andrew Garfield looks as Spider-Man, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, it still doesn't look like a high school kid, but whatever, you know. He's good. He looks good in the suit. So, I like the, you know, he's just taller. Looks like he's taller, lankier, a little bit more skinny. I like it. I like the look.
Cool.
So,
what did you guys think about the possibility of the artificial web shooters?
Possibility. Well, it's right, right there,
or it's something that's a covering on his wrist, and it's just part of the design. You don't see his palms. You don't see cartridges. You just see a bump.
You're right. Okay. I hope they go with it.
I hope that's the direction
they took.
I can see people like of the comics loving it, but I don't know. It just feels like really. I never understood the logic of it. Yeah.
Oh man,
he's
really?
A whiz kid who's,
cause he's a whiz
who
kid.
Designed super materials that no one else can do.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a scientist. Like that's his thing. Like,
he made that suit. He's a teenage high school kid that made the suit and can do other things. Yeah. I mean, that's what Peter Parker was. He's like, he invented stuff. You know? I don't know. I like it. It's even whether they do it organically, if he's able to shoot his web, whether he does that, who shoots him out organically, or if he, you know, makes it and does it. Either way, he's going to be shooting webs. I'm not going to make a big fuss over it as long as he can, you know, be Spider-Man.
I was
either
one of those
way,
people...
they're true to the comic. So.
Yeah, I was one of the people that signed the. That like no organic web shooters petition that was going around before Sam Raimi's film came out. Yeah. Do you guys remember hearing that story?
Yeah, I do.
I was like, organic web shooters? That's bull. That's ridiculous. Because I grew up watching, like, fair enough, I didn't grow up reading Spider-Man comics regularly. I read a couple of them here and there. But I did grow up on the 1990s animated series, which I loved. And that was like a big part of that show and the mythos of Spider-Man is that he is this whiz kid who is really great at science and uses his brains to come up with this formula. And the big thing that was like the massive selling point of why I thought it was absolutely necessary that he had to have these web shooters was because that justifies his position at the Daily Bugle. That's why he does freelance photography. That's why he... is the best person at getting pictures of Spider-Man, obviously because he is Spider-Man and because he can set up the camera wherever he wants. But that was a big driving force in the show and in the comics and stuff was because he needed the money that he got from those freelance photos to pay for the material to keep generating webs, like web fluid and stuff.
Yeah.
So I always thought that was like a really cool thing. And, you know, he would be down on his luck and out of money, and like he couldn't use his webs. And that was also a plot thing. You know, occasionally you would run into a scenario in the comics or something where like he was just out of money and he would have to work around that problem. And I always thought it was really interesting from a story standpoint of like, okay, now we're going to deal with this. How is Peter Parker going to work himself out of this problem because he, you know, hasn't been able to get money or whatever, you know? So I just thought it was
the
a really
thing
cool
I can
thing
think of
as
is
far as story
if he
goes.
Needs some specially required chemical to make the webbings. It's like, couldn't you trace it back to Peter Parker?
Well, I think maybe he got it from Doc Connors, or maybe it was just a mix of like normal household chemicals or something. I don't remember the specifics of it, but yes, if it's something very specific, then yes, you're right.
I guess we'll find out. I like it though. I like the look that they're going for, and I think I'm really interested to see what the mask looks like now though.
Yeah. Tiberius, any thoughts on artificial web shooters or no?
Well, it can have whatever it wants, artificial web shooters or not. But what I'm liking about the look and feel of the film. Now, granted, it's just an initial shot. We don't know for sure if the entirety of the sequence or the film is going to be this way, and it could just be that scene looks a little bit more dark and gritty. But I personally think that everything it doesn't look like the initial Sam Raimi Spider-Man, yeah. Which I'm very happy about. I did not like it. I did not like the initial movie. I love Sam Raimi, but looking back and thinking of how after I saw Chris Nolan's, Batman films, I thought, oh my God, this is what Spider-Man could have been. I mean, in a way, in terms of look and feel and darkness, and I prefer that. That's what I'd rather see on screen, and that's what I'd rather see with Spider-Man. And I'm hoping that Mark Webb.
I just wonder what this suit looks like in daylight.
You know, so,
yeah,
because it could look really bad.
Yes, yeah. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
What if Spider-Man doesn't go out in the daylight this time around? Maybe he's the night Spider-Man.
It's
almost like he's not the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man at that point. He's the lurks in the shadows Spider-Man.
No, he's the Night Stalker Spider-Man. I'm Spider-Man.
We shall see.
I don't know. I just think, honestly, I'm hoping that daylight or not, I just hope they use more lenses or different filters so that the daylight scenes look more faded, but not, looking crappy. You know what I mean? I'm not... explain what I'm thinking well, but
you're hoping
I hope there's a harder edge
to it, right? And a little more,
bingo.
You can see in the photo, it's a little more contrasty than Raimi's Spider-Man, which, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what'd you guys think of the Captain America costume? It's not the stuntman this time. We saw the stuntman, and we all kind of complained about that.
Reading the comments, people seemed to like it, and there were some people who didn't. But I think the people who didn't don't understand how or the reasoning for its particular construction.
Well, that's the battle-ready suit, obviously. That's what Captain America goes out and fights Nazis in. The other suit, you will see the classic Captain America suit we've all seen in the comics, but that's more of a show suit that he wears when he's trying to sell war bonds to people. So two different suits. We knew that from the very beginning that's what they were doing. So it's no surprise, but I love it. I love the look of battle suit.
The attempt to keep it real. I mean, we keep talking about films, but they actually, instead of going and saying, hey, what's the coolest materials we can build this suit out of? They said, all right, what did 1940s soldiers have access to? And build a suit that they could have actually built
at
that time with the materials that they had at that time. So, you've got a parachute strap, you've got things from a motorcycle jacket, all sorts of stuff put together to be, Captain America.
Yeah.
I'm down for anything that there's lots of Nazi killing, and that's just what I know that
you're a Nazi
silly.
Hater, are you?
No.
It's okay if you are. They're Nazis. We can hate Nazis.
Well, yes, that's true. And
we're not racist if we don't like Nazis.
What I'm getting at is that the thing that I like the most about Indiana Jones is all of those movies, just the general back and forth from the Jones family to and the Nazis. And that's what that's the same kind of vibe I'm getting with – that's what this is supposed to be. That's what – he is the ultimate – person to kick ass and take names in terms of the Nazis, period. So
yeah,
I like that. I just like that kind of storyline and that vibe, and that's what I'm down for. So
cool.
Although what's the group that the Red Skull's with, actually? Hydra. That's right. It's going to be interesting to see the evolution of what Captain America wears in the modern day in the Avengers film, because it will be different.
Other than that, we've got a couple of MGM projects that have finally, made it in moving into production. We've got Peter Jackson's The Hobbit, Ian McKellen, Andy Serkis, and Cate Blanchett, and Christopher Lee, and Elijah Wood have all signed on to reprise their roles in The Hobbit. So, that's good. I mean, we kind of knew that something like this was going to happen, but there was always doubts on whether, you know, if Ian McKellen would be able to return to his role or not due to this. You know, he came out and wrote on his blog that there were scheduling conflicts that arose, and there was a possibility that he actually wasn't going to be able to do it. But apparently they worked things out, and now he's good to go. So Gandalf is back.
That's the only way that it should be. You know?
I can't even imagine what it would be like if they had to cast that part.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the concept of casting Wolverine again or something. It's like Hugh Jackman just kind of is Wolverine right now in the same way that Ian McKellen is Gandalf in the pop culture, the mindset.
So that's all moving forward, all good news. A lot of people found it interesting that Frodo will be back in the Hobbit series, even though he had absolutely no place in the book. Mm-hmm. But it's been explained that he will open the movie and close the movies, I guess. You know, because he kind of finished writing the book, Bilbo's book, in The Lord of the Rings. So there's going to be this whole thing where we'll start out with that and then move into the story and then end. So he's gonna serve as a bookend.
I heard it's gonna be done in like comic form, and at one point it's gonna be like somewhere in Middle Earth. But yeah. I'm joking.
Of course you gotta have like a split screen panel.
Hopefully people know that.
It'd be awesome.
Right.
I think it's cool that they were able to bring back a lot of that original cast though from The Lord of the Rings. They talked about it at the very beginning, and there was also an interesting rumor. I didn't post anything on it because I don't know how solid of a how solid the source was or whatever. But I came across a news article that talked about Orlando Bloom coming back as Legolas. Now they've been trying to get him back, and then nothing's official yet though. But then some news came out saying that he was going to have like a two to five minute scene in the movie, mm-hmm. and that they're negotiating paying him $1 million for that.
Wow.
I have no idea if that's true or not. I don't think they need him that bad.
Plus, what else is he doing?
Yeah, especially with MGM and their budget trouble.
They might as well just CG the character, right?
I've always wondered why the hell he even dropped out of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but, I mean, what has he done since then? I mean, not that I like the Pirates of the Caribbean, but, I mean, like, why would you shoot your... I mean, come on, just take a payday. I mean, I'm sorry, I would.
The movies he's best at are, you know, we've talked about this before. I know Mazer and I have, where the best movies that Orlando Bloom can be a part of is when he's carrying a sword or a bow. So, you know, you watch a movie like Elizabethtown, Cameron, and you're just like, oh my god!
And you watch how badass he is carrying that sword and bow around.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're hoping that he ends up showing up with a sword and bow, but it never happens. God.
You know, so it's like, I don't know. It's weird watching him on screen when it's not like a, you know, period film, I guess. Because it doesn't fit. I don't know. It's just weird. He's typecast. That's all there's to it.
Yeah.
So, James Bond, the 23rd James Bond film has officially been announced. MGM is moving forward with it, and Paramount is looking to pick up the distribution rights to it. So,
I have a feeling, though, Sony's not going to go down without a fight.
No, of course not.
As you can expect, since they distributed the last two films, and they do have a good relationship with the Broccoli's, the Broccoli family, who owns the rights to James Bond.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. I mean, that's a big factor. So there's – I posted a thing about that today. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. It's going to be interesting to see how the negotiations play out. But more importantly, I'm just super excited to know that Bond's going to be back on the screen. That's all.
Yeah. Sam Mendes, who was originally attached to the movie before everything just, you know, fell out and crashed, is still attached to it. So Sam Mendes will direct it. For those of you who don't know, he directed American Beauty, Road to Perdition.
Revolutionary Road.
Revolutionary Road. So he's a pretty solid director. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he ends up doing with James Bond. And Daniel Craig is coming back to reprise his role as 007. So, good
and
times.
And I think they set the release date as what, November 9th of 2012,
yeah.
Right?
November 9th is correct, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So, you know, and that means we'll get The Dark Knight Rises and the 23rd Bond in the same year. So
sounds good. I like it. And also, I wanted to bring up with you guys, there's a new full theatrical trailer that's been released for Battle Los Angeles. and Mazur and Ben were just kind of like, oh, I don't like what I'm seeing. But now I just want to see... I have a feeling after watching the trailer that you guys are going to feel the same way, but I don't know, because it really was the same trailer, but longer.
It did have some more scenes, and we got to see a little bit more of all the characters involved. I know I jumped in there, but I got to defend it. You know, I got to defend it. So go ahead, guys. Go ahead and answer that.
Mazur, what do you think?
Really? Yeah, it was really good. The trailer was really good.
Really what?
Yeah, it was the trailer was good.
Are you serious? Are you
messing
with
me? And it was
serious?
Because I got to see a story.
Okay.
And
cool.
Because I actually got to see the actors' faces for more than 2 seconds.
I gotcha.
And I got to hear dialogue from actors. So that was enjoyable. But yeah, the effects look.
I follow you.
They look pretty solid. Good. I mean, it's from the same team that did was it Skyline? Yep.
Skyline.
Aliens look interesting, so you know, it'll be. I'm optimistic at this point, but you know, 2012 had great effects, so.
Yeah.
I also was kind of converted after seeing this.
All right. Cool.
I think it looks a lot better than the teaser showed, although I know that you guys were fans of the teaser as well. I don't know. I'm kind of right there with you, Mazur. I think, you know, seeing some dialogue helps. Also seeing just like a couple, like, snippets of scenes helps, if that makes any sense. I realize the entire concept of a trailer is just snippets of scenes, but this one seemed like it provided a little bit more context of what was going on, and as opposed to just like flash cuts of helicopters flying through the sky briefly that you have no idea what's going on, where it's set to, you know, whatever kind of brooding music was in the first trailer or something. And I was like, I felt like that the first trailer, the teaser, was more kind of like a stylistic exercise than a real description or explanation of what the film is going to be and what we're supposed to expect. This full trailer
soundtrack.
Yeah, this full trailer, I feel like, at least gives us a concept of what the movie is actually going to be like.
I think it looks okay. I'm just interested to see like a scene clip and see if the dialogue is good, if it's like, you know, Black Hawk Down, or if it, you know, it's something that's something out of like Fast and the Furious, because the movie could be extremely shallow and have
that would just kill
it. Could be the difference between, you know, Deep Impact and Armageddon.
It could easily be that,
you know what I mean?
I wanted to point out one thing. I did notice, if you guys caught this or if you're fans of True Blood like I am on HBO, Jim Parrick, I'm P-A-R-R-A-C-K, I'm not sure, I'm guessing that's the right way to pronounce it, Parrick, is actually has a small part as one of the military personnel in the film, and you can see him in one of the reaction shots to when all the group of people the group of the military are watching everything happen on the beach and everything come ashore. So I don't know. I'm just pointing out it really does have a cool batch of great character actors, and I think this theatrical trailer showed that. I say theatrical in that manner because the first one, I wanted to remind everyone, was a teaser trailer. And a theatrical trailer and a teaser trailer are two different things.
But when they put theatrical trailers I just wanted in theaters,
just,
what do they call
it? Just to lay that out for you, that's all. That's a funny question. And I don't have an answer.
Teaser trailers in theaters.
They call it a trailer.
The official theatrical trailer.
Maybe it's theatrical length
of theatrics.
That's the quota. It's like an EPLP. It's an EPLP type thing.
Yeah.
Very technical.
Very, very good point.
Is there any other news out there you guys wanted to talk about?
It's not a lot
of big news since we're at the beginning of the year. It's just, you know, a lot of little stuff. Nothing too crazy going on right now.
Go ahead.
Well, Frances McDormand is playing her. Going from a great indie actress to doing a voice work on Madagascar 3. I think that's personally probably got to be paycheck related, but you know what can you do? most importantly, the biggest one, you talk about Burning Palms, Nick Stahl joining Lock and Key, the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I still want
could
them
they just
to finish,
finish it
Carnival,
in
though, but it'll never happen.
Or something
it's
like
bastards.
So I know.
Just write a single page, two paragraphs.
Or just write a
maybe.
Book. I just want to know how it ends, man. I'm still invested in that show, and it's been like 4 years.
Let it go, Venkman. Let it go.
Not till I know. I need to know. Anyway.
One other thing that, you know, we mentioned The Dark Knight Rises a couple times, and I was talking about Kate Mara in the very beginning. And we shouldn't get too much into this because it's one of those, like, micro-casting stories that has been taking over Deadline and all of the movie blogs in the past year, which kind of pisses me off. But it's
I know,
one of those.
Dude.
It's one of those things where it's like, this person might be auditioning for the role. And it's like, come on, what level are we eventually going to take this to? Like, somebody had a dream about maybe casting this person. Like, seriously, I feel like that's where the industry is going, and that's what people are going to be reporting on in the next 2 years or something. But anyway, just the short list of actresses that might be in up for the two female leads in The Dark Knight Rises consists of Anne Hathaway, Jessica Biel, and Kate Mara, and like a couple other people. Do you guys remember those names off the top of your heads?
Charlotte Riley, I believe.
Okay.
And she is actually engaged to Tom Hardy. So,
oh, nice. Okay.
I'm sure that doesn't hurt that he's pretty much in for a role in the film that he pretty much says, hey, Mr. Nolan, would you mind my fiance audition?
Yeah.
And that doesn't hurt, help, but it doesn't hurt. But I can't remember who else there was.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now.
It's kind of bad.
Anyway, I don't know. Anne Hathaway, if I didn't mention that one, I don't know. I just, like, personally, I think Kate Mara is probably the best fit for Nolan's universe. I just like her look a lot, and I think she's got this kind of, I don't know, like a little bit of a darkness about her that would fit very well in with the Chris Nolan world.
She was great in Trans-Siberian. Mm-hmm. I really liked her in that. And, you know, she wasn't in 127 hours really that long at all, but she was good in that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'd like to see her get some more stuff on there.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd be great. Obviously, it'd be great for her career, you know, getting huge high-profile thing like that. So.
What about the Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter? another example of your premonition type. What's going to happen here? I mean, I actually would love to see Josh Lucas or Timothy Oliphant. Get the role.
I honestly, for a movie like that, you really don't need someone that looks exactly like Abraham Lincoln.
It's not a biopic.
Someone who's going to be able to play the part badass.
Yeah. Who is it? Adrian Brody, Josh Lucas, Timothy Oliphant, and a guy named Oliver Jackson Cohen, who, if I'm remembering correctly, was like one of the assassins in that movie Faster with Dwayne Johnson.
He was the assassin. He's British. He's a British actor.
I hope he doesn't get it. No offense. No offense, Oliver Jackson Cohen, but give it to Timothy Oliphant and call it a day.
Lincoln would have some swagger.
That'd be very good. It'd be very good.
Yeah, Justified is awesome.
Let me just say this. I know we talk about, you know, you brought up a good point. You know, why are we reporting on, you know, who could be potentially auditioning or who might have been cast and stuff? Mm-hmm. You know what? I still would rather see that any day of the week than have a gosh darn trailer description. Yeah. I'm getting sick and tired of these damn trailer descriptions. Who gives a flying F, man? I mean, come on. It's going to be, I mean, for the love of God, let the trailer be released, and then we can chat about it. You don't need a trailer. Hey, by the way, on Tuesday, the trailer.
It's really interesting to see how the internet and blogging and entertainment blogging evolved in just the 2 years that we've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone to like this level of ridiculousness. Where it's seriously hard to keep up with everything that everybody's doing because
people
are just making up shit.
Trailers and calling
I wonder.
I know, and I'm like, wait,
Sinestro?
Just recently, there was a Sinestro picture from the Green Lantern, and Tiberius emailed me. He's like, have you seen this yet? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, is that a screenshot from the trailer? And he's like, it is. Like, what? Someone took a screenshot of the trailer and is calling it an exclusive? What the hell?
I think they claimed exclusiveness on
that. It's kind of a sad state right now.
Other sites can claim different frames from the trailer.
What? Okay.
I'm going to start doing exclusive screenshots from trailers.
I'm going to go around to every movie that I see, and since I took a picture of the poster outside of the theater, I'm going to go ahead and do an exclusive. This is an exclusive look at the poster.
Now, I'll tweet stuff like that.
No, I have no problem with that.
People post
stuff
on their sites, and I'm like, That's a poster that will be released in high res in a couple days. So
people have actually posted stuff that you've tweeted on their sites. Oh man,
that's weird. No joke. I went to just real quick. I went to Universal Studios. Okay, and I had my iPhone with me, and there was the first Paul image I'd ever seen up on one of the sound stages. And I snapped a photo of that. And it was, you know, iPhone, low res. If you blew it up, the picture was really small. And I tweeted it out. Hey, check it out. You know, first thing I've seen from Paul. And then all of a sudden I start seeing it pop up on people's websites. And I'm like, really?
Did they even source
it? I didn't even put it up on ours. It's a photo.
Nice.
I just saw it. Other people just claiming they went to Universal Studios to take a snapshot of it.
Well. All right.
Welcome to the land of the internet.
Yes.
Whatever, though. I'm not, you know, bitter. I don't care. I really don't care.
Quality control.
A lot of the website's stupid. I'm just kind of, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, what movies we got coming out this weekend? We've got The Green Hornet.
The Dilemma.
And The Dilemma. Mm. So
I want to see it, but not in theaters.
I'm really too excited for The Dilemma.
I
want to
sit at home
honest.
And just, like, you know, put that on.
Ron Howard. It's a rental.
Although I'm intrigued because you actually said the 3D was good, Ben, and I like 3D, but...
Yeah.
I'm hoping that seriously they you know, every all the crap went down with Clash of the Titans.
Bad conversions like, mean oh, bad crap, press. Man,
we've
bad
got
reviews.
To really step this up and make sure this looks good.
Yeah, that's the thing about Green Hornet that I didn't mention with the 3D being good. The reason that it's good is because the image is very crisp, at least in the theater. At least in the theater that I saw, it's very, like, right. It's bright. You don't have to deal with crappy lighting or anything like that. It's not dim at all. So I think that is, like, half the battle right there.
And knowing is half the battle.
Indeed.
Well, I'm wondering what kind of cameras they used on the Green Hornet, because that could be, you know, the more and more we're going to start seeing people using these red Epic cameras. I mean, it's just going to be amazing. The picture quality is jumping 10,000, you know.
I think it's the future. It's the amount of time you take.
Yeah.
It's just
amazing.
They're doing a 3D version of the Star Wars films, and they're saying they're going to take an entire year to do each conversion because you can't shortcut it. So.
Yeah.
Well, then do it and do it right and get it over with, and we'll all spend our money again on Star Wars crap and have fun doing it. Whatever.
See, that's a good thing. I feel good about this. I haven't purchased any of the Star Wars.
I've got them, but it's
on,
just
on
I just at Man, some point I just couldn't.
No, I have.
I don't have a VHS player anymore. So, and every now and again, you need some Star Wars. So.
Yeah. I just watch the Spike Channel every Saturday and Sunday. It seems to be on all the time.
That's true.
Anyway. Make sure to visit our online store at geektyrant.me, where you can buy a Geek Tyrant t-shirt. We've got some glasses and stuff to check out, just a few other little things. You can donate at geektyrant.com/donate if you want to just feel, if you're feeling generous, you know, go ahead and throw in some cash to help us out and help keep things here running. You can always subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. And if you're not already, follow us on Twitter at @geektyrant. Other than that, we've got Ben, why don't you tell them about your awesome podcast?
Sure. Thank you, sir. It's the Not Just New Movies podcast. We talk about older films and what we've been watching over the course of the week and things like that. So it's a little bit different format than this one. But you can go to Geek Tyrant and find it, and just click on the podcast link on the right side of the page. A lot of the episodes are posted there, and you can find all of the episodes at notjustnewmovies.com on the podcast thing there. You can also subscribe to it for free in iTunes and leave us a review. Leave us a review for this podcast, too. If you're listening to this and you're like, hey, whatever, those guys are cool, or like, hey, I hate those guys, go to iTunes and tell us either way. That'd be awesome.
What was the latest episode you did?
The most recent one we did was for Death to Smoochie, and our co-hosts Mazer and Tiberius actually were the guests on that episode, so check that out if you guys are interested.
Nice. And
it was a good time. It was a really good time, I must add.
That was one of our better episodes, I think.
Sweet. And Tiberius, you want to... where we can find you.
Well, you know, you can always find me, of course, on geektyrant.com, but more importantly than that, just as well, you can find me on Twitter at Napier's News, or you can visit napiersnews.com and, you know, join in on the fun.
So there you go. That's the podcast. We will see you.
We'll talk at you.
No, we won't see you. We'll talk to you next week. How about that? We'll talk at you, and cool. You can just sit back and listen and enjoy.
We should do a live one.
Whatever it is. We should. I agree.
Yeah.
I'd like to do another live one. So look out for that. We'll probably do it within the next month.
Cool. All right. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, have a good night.